Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Good evening. It's an honor to be here tonight. Thank you, honey, for letting me do this. Okay, so you're standing up. Some of you are standing up. You can have a seat. Okay, I just want to preface this before we get started. This morning, so middle school and high school chapel, we've been doing something different. And so this morning for middle and high school chapel, things went kind of haywire. My husband was dealing with the wisdom tooth, and someone that was going to lead a part of the chapel service wasn't able to be here. So it was a little bit of chaos. So it was about 5 minutes before chapel started. And you know the Lord's in control. But about 5 minutes before chapel started, Pastor Ben was called upon to do chapel for the middle and high school. And he wasn't really prepared per se. You know, he hadn't really prepared and studied and stuff for that. And I was in here right as he found out he was doing it. And he found out he was going to have all the boys and girls. And he was like, okay, we'll just see what the Lord does. And all I could think was, that poor guy. I mean, thank you, the Lord, that it was not me that was called on within 5 minutes' notice to lead chapel service. So I was so thankful. And then, anyway, it was great. The Lord moved, and it was awesome. And so tonight at dinner, about 5:30, we're eating, and I'd finished eating. Thank you for letting me eat first. No, it was after 5:30. It was almost 6. It was almost 6. And my husband goes, I think that I want you to speak tonight on that message that you shared with chapel a month ago. It's 6 o'clock. I was like, it is 6 o'clock. You know how you look by the end of the day. And anyway, so you never know what the Lord has in store. I was so thankful this morning that it was somebody else. And then tonight, but anyway, God is faithful. And I saw God speak through Pastor Ben on such short notice. And then God just reminded me, Chrissy, I spoke through a donkey. So I can, Lord, if you can speak through a donkey, you can speak through me. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, just for every person that's come expecting, Lord, to hear from you tonight. God, I thank you that you did speak through a donkey, Lord, and I thank you this is not about me, Father, but God, this is about you. This is about your word going forth, Lord. This is about you breaking chains, Lord. God, I thank you. This is about what you want to reveal to the heart of your people, Lord, and I just yield myself, ask you to speak, Father, through me and into the heart of everyone here, God, that we'll hear a word from you, Lord, and our lives will be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 13. So you can turn there. And while we're doing this, I want you to think, picture a seed and the size of a seed. If I was holding a seed right now, I would hold it literally like this because they're so tiny. As a matter of fact, when we ministered this in the middle high school chapel, everybody came in and they got a little something. It was a seed. They didn't know it was a seed. It looked like a little piece of pepper, you know. Passed it out. Didn't tell them what it was. And then once I got up, I said, okay, who still has that thing that you were given? And there was like maybe 4 of the students still had what they were given. Because it seemed so insignificant, right? And sometimes seed seems so insignificant. So just hang on to that as we start here. All right, Matthew 13. The same day, verse 1, went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea, and the great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then again, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, so he had spoke to the multitude. The whole multitude heard this. But later, a few came back. The disciples came and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he said, "Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given." And then I want to go down where he, and we'll read some of that between in a little bit, but let's go down into verse 18. This is where Jesus goes on to explain the parable. Everybody heard the parable, but the people that came back, the people that really wanted to understand it, that stayed around a little longer, this is what he explained to them. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away the word that was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receives it, but he has no root in himself, so he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he that received into the good ground," this is what we want to be, amen? "He that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Amen. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to talk about the seed. And when we talk about the seed, like Jesus said, we're talking about the word of God that comes. And he's saying every time that the word of God comes forth, there are four types of ground it's going to land into. And our heart is the ground. Amen. And so when the word comes forth, what state is your heart in? Because the word's the same, but everybody leaves and not everybody leaves the same. Not everybody leaves and produces fruit of that word, right? Some people don't understand it, and so nothing comes of it, right? So we're going to go through tonight, we're going to go through, it's the same seed, but it's a different harvest. And what determines the harvest in your life is the condition of your heart. So we're going to go and we're going to go into this and study the condition of our heart. And if there's some weeds, if there's some thorns, if there's some stony places, amen, we're going to ask the Lord to reveal those to us so that our heart can be good ground, so that we can bear fruit, the promises of abundant life and righteousness and love and joy and peace and patience can reign in our lives, amen? That has to be very intentional. That's the good ground that we want to be so God can grow that. Okay, so let's talk about the wayside. The first that he talks about here, in verse 4, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The wayside is the side of the road. So if you're driving up Burt Coons coming here, it's everything that's along the side of the road. So some people's hearts are like what's growing along Burt Coons. So if you had some like beautiful, amazing flower that you wanted to plant, is that where you'd plant it? Along the Burt Coons? No, that's not where you're going to plant it, right? And if we think about what type of ground is that? It's neglected. Nobody tills it. No, that somebody might mow it and cut the weeds down off of it. Nobody's planting things in it. It's a catch-all. Everything kind of can go there, right? So there's no really discernment about what gets planted on the wayside. So do you care what's getting planted in your life? You know, sometimes a little something good might get thrown out, a little ice from somebody's cup of water, right? And then trash, I mean, you know, trash is, come on, a little trash is fine, bring a little trash. Bring a little filth in the music I'm listening to, right? Well, it doesn't really matter. It's just, but it's a catch-all, and it's hardened. And he goes on to talk about it. When he's describing it, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom in verse 19 and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away the word that was sown in his heart. Okay, so the birds are able to come and get that word before it gets in the heart. Why is that? Why is it that the seed doesn't even get into the ground? Because it's hard, right? And so how many in here can say, I know what it's like to have a hard heart? So, you know, I hear the word comes forth, but you know what? I've heard the word come forth, but I've also had so much trash thrown at me that I've just hardened my heart. And the enemy would like us to say, you know what? Yeah, he hurt me, she hurt me, so I'm going to harden my heart so nobody's going to hurt me again. Let me tell you something, that's the lie of the enemy. Because when our heart is hard, it's hard. And it's not, oh, I'm going to be soft right now because Jesus is ministering to me. I'm receiving the word, I'm real soft. And it'll be hard to you and you and you. No, if you have a hard heart, and life happens, and things hurt. And our natural response is to harden our heart. But when we harden our heart, Jesus is saying, look, I'm trying to plant seeds there. I'm trying to plant seeds on this ground. But they're not even going to be able to get into the soil, into the ground of your heart if it's hard. So we got to ask the Lord, when things come and hard times come and things that would harden us, God, no, Lord, don't let this harden me. If it hurts, let me hurt, but let me hurt before you so that I can be open to receive your word. Amen. Amen. They didn't understand. This is so key because it goes on to talk about, he says in let's go to verse 11. And he says, the disciples said, why are you speaking to them in parables? In verse 11, he says, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. Why was it given to these to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Because they wanted to understand. Everybody heard it. But there was a few that said, you know what? That's not good enough. Just understanding the parable is not good enough. I want to understand what you mean, Lord. What do you mean in this verse? So God, I'm going to hang around a little bit longer. I'm going to study a little bit more. I'm going to get deeper because I know if I can get an understanding of that word, it can produce some fruit in my life. But he's saying, look, to them, it's not given. And he's saying, whoever has, more will be given. And he'll have more abundance, but he does not have, even more will be taken away. In verse 13, I speak to them in parables because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. When it talks about this people's heart is waxed gross, another version means it's hardened. It's become calloused. And do you know and who he's referring to when he talks about these people's heart has waxed gross? It's not the people that are outside of the kingdom, not the ones that are lost, not the ones that have no knowledge of the word, not the ones that have never been in church. It was the Pharisees. It was the ones who knew the law. It was the ones who knew the law. They thought they knew so much that they couldn't receive the simple seed. They didn't even value it enough to hang around. They were waiting and listening. And how many of us has waited and listened to a preacher talk so we could accuse him? They were hanging around. Look, Jesus, I'm here, but you know what? I'm gonna find something wrong that you said. Okay, well, you know, I know you may be a Christian or you maybe claim to be a Christian, but I'm just waiting for you to say something wrong or do something wrong so I can accuse you, right? They were accusers. Yes, they were should have been known that if anybody would have known that that was Jesus, that was the Word of God made flesh, they should have known because they had the law, right? If we're not careful as Christians, y'all, we can so easily become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what? I've heard it 1,000 times. Oh, I know the Bible, so it's just hard for me to receive it because I already know it. No, man, this word has life-changing power. And there will never come a day that I will be so spiritual that I don't need this, that I don't need to be reminded of my heart is still ground and what am I sowing into this ground that God's given me. Amen? So, Lord, let us never become so hardened and thinking that we know so much that we become like the Pharisees. I want to go to 1 Kings 3:9. Let's go there. This first one is so key because if the enemy can, if it didn't even get in our heart, we don't have an understanding of it, which is what the Pharisees missed. And the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Right? Everything that we get, it's not worth getting if we're not going to understand it. Because the little birds of the air, the enemy's going to come and take that seed. I don't know where I told y'all to go. Great. All right, chapter 3, verse. Yeah, but you know I'm going to back it up because I've been hanging around my husband a long time. All right. He's been rubbing off on me a little bit these years. Okay, in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. So here we have Solomon has become king. He's a young child, but he's king. And God comes into this dream in verse 5 and says, ask what I shall give you. So he comes to him and says, like, what do you want? I'll give you. I mean, if God came to you and said, I mean, seriously, if God came and said, what do you want? You know, honestly, I would be like, okay, Lord, if you're giving me a wish, then my wish would be that I would never run out of wishes. Right? I mean, that's just the best thing. Like, give me. Okay, but here we go. We have this young child, and he says, and Solomon said in verse 6, thou hast shown unto your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness and heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness. On to verse 7. And now, Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Man, Lord, you know, my husband asked me to speak, and Lord, I see all my weaknesses. When God calls us to do something or makes available an opportunity, the enemy will show you every one of your weaknesses, and we will feel so inadequate because we are inadequate. I am inadequate, okay? But I know as much as I'm in tune to my own weaknesses, the Lord's helping me to become in tune to his strengths. So, Lord, I acknowledge my weakness before you, but God, I see your strength, and your strength outweighs any weakness I have. As a matter of fact, if I acknowledge my weakness, you said your strength will be made perfect in that area. Amen? So here you have Solomon, and he's saying, I'm a little child. I see that. I don't know how to go out or come in or judge among these people. And thy servant, which is in the midst of thy people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge between your people. Give me an understanding heart of all the things that I could ask for, Lord. I'm asking for an understanding heart. And this so pleased the Lord in verse 10 that Solomon asked for an understanding heart. And God said to him, it's so good because it's so simple. Lord, just help me to understand. Help me to understand your ways. When I read, help me not just to be what's on the page and it sounds good. I've heard it a million times, you know. No, but help it. Give me an understanding heart so I can understand the depth, God, and what you want to reveal through this, Lord. And God said to him, because you've asked this thing and you've not asked for long life, neither asked for riches for yourself nor the life of your enemies, not for revenge, but you've asked for understanding and to discern judgment. Behold, I've done according to your words, and I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, and there shall not any rise after you. And I've given you which you have not asked, both riches and honor. What comes with understanding? What comes with wisdom? It's riches, it's honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like you in all the days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. So we need an understanding heart. And there, Solomon was such an example of humility and saying, Lord, I need to understand. And the disciples that came back to Jesus in Matthew 13, after they heard the message, it's like us hearing a message and grabbing some of it. But then some of us, you know what? During the week, I want to go back to that. You know, I want to go back to what Pastor James covered, and Lord, show me something in there. Show me the deeper things. I'm going to hang around a little longer, Lord, because I want all that you have for me in that. Amen? God honors that. He honored that in Solomon, and he's going to honor that in our lives. All right, back to Matthew 13, where we talk about the stony ground. Let's go back and read that. And as we're reading this, think about your heart. Think about where it is. And Our hearts go through different stages. You know, if you've been through a time that you've been really hurt and just kind of hardened off, and because I've been through this, you can literally feel your heart closing off to people and to things, and you think it's to protect yourself, but it isolates. It's just a trick of the enemy. It isolates and it hardens, and so when the Lord's trying to minister to you, he's not able to get through. All right, but let's go on to the stony ground. Let's find that. Okay, some fell among stony places where there had much not earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Okay, this is more like you hear the word, and yes, I'm going to go change the world. I'm starting a new ministry, and I'm quitting my job, and I'm doing all these amazing things, right? And a week later, I'm in the pits, and I'm depressed, and I can't get out of the bed, and I'm just forget about all of those things that I was doing, right? You know, and that happens, and sometimes that happens more with others, with people than other people. But if that happens and you catch yourself in that, that's an example of what happens if we have a heart in stony places. And we go back over here where Jesus breaks it down for us. Verse 20, he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and with joy receives it, but he does not have root in himself. And he endures for a little while, but when tribulation or persecution arises, by and by he is offended. All right, so no roots can grow deep there because there's not a lot of life-giving soil there. All right, so if our heart is shallow, okay, and there's just a bunch of, you know, if you ever planted a garden and there's just rocks in there and you're, okay, here I am, I have this garden, what are you going to do if there's just rocks all through the garden? You're going to go find another place to plant your seed, but God's not like that. Or you're going to get in there and you're going to start throwing out the rocks, right? Okay. Some of the things that stony ground, maybe we're not completely hardened, in general, but just the stones of I've been through a divorce. I've been through a rejection. I've experienced some of those thorns from others that have hurt me. And so I've just had these little hard places, you know. And so the seed of God's word, it can get in a little ways, but it can't get very deep. And so what happens when the sun comes out, it's a really hot day, especially here in Louisiana in the summer. You know how many of our plants will die so fast because they get scorched by the sun. But if their roots could just get deeper, if we could just get some of those stones out of the way so that when that root's going in, it doesn't get stopped by those stones, right? If we could get those roots out of the way. So receive the word, but as soon as a hard time comes, it dies. So if that happens to us, we need to say, okay, wait a second. I was real excited about this word, that Pastor ministered a couple weeks ago, and now all of a sudden I'm just ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay, that's a stony ground. That's a stony heart. And so, Lord, if we have that tonight, show us that, God, because we want to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you something. When you look at your life as a garden, okay, your heart is a garden, your life is a garden, everything pretty much you can compare to a garden or a seed. Okay, my children are seed. And I'm determining at this age where they're planted. There's a mother at Word of God Academy, and I'm always amazed by the single mothers that are both working and in school and raising kids. I'm amazed. Okay, that is the Lord's doings, and it is marvelous in my eyes. So this particular mother, I loved it when she compared her child. She was that mother, single mother, working a job, going to school, and paying for her child's tuition to go to a private school, a Christian school. And she said, so many people say, how do you do that? Why do you do that? And she said, because my baby's a seed and I'm going to make sure he's planted in good ground. Amen. That's so powerful. So everything that we have in our life, okay, am I planting a seed or is this my garden? Because my babies are seed. My home is a garden. My home is a garden. And so you know what? When things get planted in our home, before the enemy comes in and he's going to plant try to, lure something in through an iPod or an iPad in the kids' room. No. I'm watching this. I'm watching for weeds. I'm watching for the stones. I'm watching for when the kids hurt one another. Okay, no, we're not going to hurt one another. This is not a place where we're going to have to be hardened and protect each other from each other. You know, right? So look at your life and think about everything. Is this a garden in my life? Or is this a seed I'm planting in a garden? Our children's hearts are like a garden. And so what am I planting into their heart? What am I planting? What am I speaking over them when they're struggling? What do I speak to them when they mess up big time? Do I call them a name? Am I planting that in their heart? Because that's a rock. I'm putting a stone in their heart. I don't want to sow stones in my children's hearts. No, I want to sow seeds of life that can grow up and flourish. Amen? Everything is a seed or a garden. So when the thorns, let's go to the thorns. When we receive the word, but there's so many other weeds and thorns that take up space that it chokes the word. Pornography. I hear the word. That's such a rampant thing, and it is destroying. It is destroying marriages. It is destroying young men from being able to be able to look in the eyes of a woman. And even young men that have repented, but that still can't look in the eyes of a woman because of the guilt and the shame and the images. I'm telling you something. God wants to deliver, and he wants to make whole. But he's exposing some things, amen? That's what exposure's about. We got to be able to see it for what it is. So you can come and receive the word, but I have so many weeds, and I'm really like my weeds, so I'm, you know, ooh, look, I got some more weeds. You've never had somebody come over to your house and or your grandmother's house if they have a garden and say, oh, honey, come out. I want to show you my garden of weeds. It looks so good. You know, and they're just all showing off all their weeds. No, we don't show off our weeds. But in our heart, man, we can get some weeds. And weeds, you don't even have to plant weeds. If you're not tending your heart and you're not paying attention to what's coming in there, you've got some weeds. Because if you've ever had a garden, you don't have to plant a weed. It'll come. All you got to do is look away for a day and there's a weed. And if you look away for a week, the weeds will take over. And before you know it, the plants, the good stuff, the good seed that you've been planting, your tomatoes and your cucumbers, your love and your joy, wholeness in your marriage, purity, okay, faith. All that stuff is getting choked out because you're not tending to your heart. You're not paying attention to what's going in there. And the enemy is sowing seeds. If they just come by the air, you don't have to do anything. The birds of the air, remember the enemy that's coming and pulling up seeds? Well, he's messing with all kinds of seeds and he's flying around, the wind's blowing. Trust me, there's some evil seeds that have been planted in our hearts. And we have to pay attention. What things are more important to you than God's word? That's some weeds. It's taking up some place and it's going to choke the word. The Bible says the tradition of men will make the word of God of none effect. We've got some traditions, things that we've just done because it's been done and everybody's doing it and so-and-so has always done it and I've done it. And so, you know what? That will make the word of God of none effect. That will choke out the word that God is trying to bring in you and bring some deliverance. Some of you were grown up and you're trying to make a difference. You're trying to say, okay, you know what? In my family, for generations, things have been like this. There's been divorce, there's been sin, there's been hatred, there's been strife, there's been division. And you've seen the fruit of it and you said, I don't want that. I want to start a new garden. So just like Abraham, God told Abraham, he said, get up away from them and I'm going to do a new thing with you. He had to get up out of this garden that he had grown and he had to go and he had to till a new garden. And some of you, God's called you to get away from some people, get away from this garden of weeds and thorns and stones. God's saying, look, I want to do a new thing, but you got to be willing to uproot and go till a new garden. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have to till a garden, for those of you that are first generation people that are serving the Lord in your family, say you've come from generations of sin and you've seen the effects of the curse of curses that have brought brokenness. And you're saying, Lord, I want something better. I'm going to tell you, when you first start a garden, you just find a patch of land. It's going to be like the wayside. It's going to have all this stuff. It's going to have the stony ground. It's going to be hard. It's going to have the rocks. It's going to have the thorns. It's got the weeds. It's got all of that. And so if you are saying, Lord, I want to do something different for my family, it's not easy. It is not easy. When you have to get out there and you start and you're the first one to start tilling that and you're the first one to start pulling up weeds, it is hard work, but the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And let me tell you something. Once you till that garden, that's hard. But once you get that stuff out of there, it's so much easier to maintain. It is so much easier to maintain. And generations after generations will walk in the fruit of the garden that you're planting right now. If you will sow that seed and you will put your hand to that plow and not let the enemy discourage you, you will have your children and your grandchildren, the people in your neighborhood, lives will be changed because of the garden that you're saying, Lord, I'll do it. God, I will uproot from this system and this brokenness and these curses that I've seen and I've lived under. God, I will start. I'll be the one. Lord, you can use me. Give me the strength. And God is with you and he will anoint you. Yes, and he will walk with you and he will show you weeds that need to be pulled up. And when the enemy comes in and tries to steal from you and your family, God will say, no, not in this garden. This is my garden. And I'm planting my seed. I'm planting blessing and I'm planting purity where the enemies come in. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between innocence and purity. There's a difference. Innocence is just without knowledge. I don't know, you know, I don't know about the bad. I'm just innocent. Purity is a decision. I know the options. I know the sin. I know the lust. I know the ways of the world. I see it. But Lord, I choose your way. God wants some gardens of purity, not to keep it empty. Purity is not about being empty, but it is about being open and available for what the Lord wants to plant in your life, for what the Lord wants to grow in your garden, because he has some beautiful life-giving things that so many people are going to benefit from, and they're going to be led to him, and he's going to bring wholeness in your life. Amen? I'm so intense. I got to calm down. What's taking up the space in your heart? Okay, there's some space for the word, but what else is taking up space in your heart? You know, like, Lord, I just hadn't let you in this area because I got this one sin, you know? And I just have had it for a long time, and it's a temptation, and I just, you know, you can have everything else, but just this little area, it's kind of, you know, I kind of close it off to you. It's one of those little stony places. Lord, stay away from that. He's knocking on that place, guys. Through this series, he's exposing that place. Not for condemnation, but he's ready to break it up, break ground, because he's got good things to grow in your life. Some of the things that are weeds would be like in thorns. Hate, jealousy, insecurity. But insecurity, man, that's some weeds in that. Some weeds in that. Rebellion, selfishness, insincerity, gossip. And the difference, the way you can know a difference, the difference in a weed or a thorn, this is so good. When, what's the difference in a weed and a thorn? You know, obviously, if you grab a weed, you can pull it up, but if you grab a thorn, it's going to hurt. So if people are coming around you, when they come around you, if people are leaving hurt, every time they come around, you know, they're mad, or they just try to avoid you, because every time they're around you, you know how you would just avoid a thorn? You don't just like, oh, let me pick that. No, you stay away from a thorn. So people staying away from you, you know you're a little bit thorny. And it's not because you're just like, ooh, I want to be mean. No, you got some thorns. Your fruit that you're bearing isn't lovely and joyful and kind and no, it's some thorns. And so if that's you, then you're like, okay, Lord, I got some thorns. So, you know, help me. Because, I mean, sometimes, and y'all know this because my husband talks about it, he don't like a tone. He does not like a tone. Okay, well, that's my thorn, you know. And I pull that thorn. I pull that thorn on a daily basis. But that little thorn, it just like poison ivy, you know. It just keeps coming back up. But it's got some thorns. But my husband's really good about helping me, you know, when it comes back up. I don't like a tone. So whatever your thorn is, like, just know that's a thorn, all right? And we need to pull that up. It's okay, because we all have those. But if we're maintaining our garden and keeping a check on, Lord, what's coming in my heart, or am I giving heed to your word, then we can pull it up before it takes over our heart, right? Yeah, so I don't know why this is strong, but lust and things on the internet and things on TV and things like that, man, you got to grab those things, because the enemy will come in and he will use that to take over your heart. And it will lead to complete insatisfaction and a filth. And the Lord says, I want to do so much more than for us to be caught in a heart of just thorns and, y'all, a heart of weeds and all that junk, because that's the curse. That's what people have been living in, and we don't want that. No, we're doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing, and he's planting some new gardens. Some of you, he's planting some new gardens in your life for you and the future. Amen? All right. So good ground. To receive God's word and have fruit in your life. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness. Y'all, that sounds so simple, but man, that's like what life's about. I can go through anything. Like, you know, we've got peace in our home. Oh man, I can handle it. You know, I know that he loves me and our kids are loved, and it's good, man. It's just good, and it's easy to grow our children in an environment like that. And God's saying, look, that's what I want. If you'll give me some good ground, then I will bring the fruit forth. You don't have to bring the fruit forth. If you'll just let me have some good ground and sow this seed in here, I'm going to bring some fruit in your home, in your job, in your heart, in your destiny. But good ground does not happen by accident. It's cultivated. It's tended to. You prepare for the seed intentionally. No, I'm not letting this in because I have something better I want in that place. Amen. We have to save space for the most important thing. We have to make a decision to hear God's word and to give it weight. What are you saying? You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's in your heart, we want to know, okay, what's the condition of my heart? What am I talking about? What am I saying? That's like, you know, that's a great way to see where our heart is. What I'm saying, is it thorny, you know? Is it always with the tone? You know, is it just trash? It's just a bunch of weeds? What am I saying? Because the condition of your heart matters. And it'll determine, that's what makes a difference in a person that does mighty things for the Lord and walks in blessing and abundance, and those that can't ever get out of the curse and can't get out of the mess. Okay, that's the condition of your heart. It's the condition of your ground, what God's able to do with the seed he plants in there. He plants the seed, but we determine the harvest by the condition of our ground. And he'll grow it and he'll multiply it, but we've got to maintain our ground. Amen? What does God want to plant in your heart? He wants to plant love and he wants to plant truth. Love never fails. And he wants you to know you're accepted and you were loved by him, your identity to be in him, not what anybody says over you, not what anybody's spoken over you, not what they've done to you, and not what you've done in your past. No, the truth of God's word, which comes forth from the pulpit, and the love of God is what he wants growing in your heart. And that'll produce blessing upon blessing and goodness and abundance beyond what we could ever, ever ask for or expect. Amen. In the beginning, the Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and Adam had sinned. And so when God came to walk with him in the garden, Adam hid himself. Sometimes some of the things that we've let happen in the garden of our lives and our hearts, we feel condemned. And we feel ashamed, and so we hide. But God wants to walk with you no matter what you've done. And the enemy will come, and he'll make you feel condemned. He will make you feel so condemned. I've let so much junk in my heart, God. I've let so much trash in here. I've hurt so many people by maybe the things that I've done or I've said. And the enemy will come and condemn. And so that we hide from the Lord. Lord, you don't even want to see all this filth in my heart. But God says, no. I want to be there. I want to walk with you. Yes, I know there's sin, but man, when he's in the garden with us, oh Lord, please come in my heart. I know sometimes it's a mess, but Lord, I want you here today. God, when that temptation comes to allow this in or that in, God, I need you. I need you to walk with me and show me that weed right there that we need to pull up. Help me, Father, when there's stones, Lord, that have made me hard and things that made me hard. Amen. God wants you to walk with him and not hide. He wants that personal relationship with you. God's word and his spirit will soften the hard places in your heart. He will show you the weeds and he will help you pull them up. He will remove the thorns and he will grow something amazing in and through you. That's what he wants to do. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to read one more verse in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. I'm telling you, the Lord's calling, he's calling a lot of people to build, make some new gardens. Saying, look, this garden right here that you just, this is what you've known, this is what you've done. No, we're doing a new, I'm doing a new thing. You gotta be willing to plant, you gotta be willing to uproot and move and start a new one. And I'm gonna tell you something. What the Lord's so often done with my husband, and I feel like I'm along for the ride, we never do anything where we just get to be a part of it. It's always like we have to start it. And that is like, you know, if you've ever had to start something, like if you're building a program or you're starting something new, it's always so much more work in the beginning. You know, once it's going, like, okay, yeah, now I know what the routine is and we can just, you know, fill out the routine. But when you have to start something from the ground up, build it stone by stone by stone by stone, yeah, that's some effort. That's some work. But man, God's calling you to start a new thing. And he's saying, hey, are you willing to build a new thing? Are you willing to be in the groundwork of what I'm doing? Man, if we'll just yield, God will do it. Man, he'll do great, amazing things. If we'll make the decision to pull out of some things in our lives, amen, and start some new things. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the door of our hearts. This is the door of your heart tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So God's knocking. He's saying, hey, let me in. Don't hide that from me in that area that you're keeping to yourself. It's keeping you from my best for your life. You know, when Adam came to Eve, he just wanted to make Eve doubt that God's intentions for her were good. Now, did he really tell you not that? He's just trying to keep something from you. When God's got something for you and he's showing you, look, you've got this in your heart and you need to let it go, you need to get it out. And we think, oh, he's trying to keep something from me. No, he's got a better way. He's got something better for you. He's got something better for you. And he says, look, I will knock on your door. And he's not going to stop knocking. And if you'll hear my voice and you'll open the door, if you'll let me come in, I'm not just going to come in and look around and say, ooh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. No. He's saying, I'm going to come sit down and I'm going to sup with you and he with me. I'm going to stay with you. Amen. I'm going to stay with you on a daily basis. I'm here every day. I'm not leaving you and I'm not forsaking you. I won't turn my back on you because of your sin. You will fail again. Every one of us will fail again. But you know what? He is with us. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And he is faithful and he is a blessing for you and your future generations. Amen. He is a blessing for the everywhere you go. I declare in Jesus' name that you're going to walk in the fruit of God's spirit in Jesus' name. I declare that every seed, that every thorn and weed that God reveals to us tonight, God, we just ask you, Lord, to show it to us, God. Lord, stand at our hearts and knock, God. Each one of us, Lord, where we've let things in, Father, that you don't want in, God. Or if you're going to just completely uproot or empty us out completely, empty us out of all the weeds and the thorns, and it's all we've known. If it's all somebody's known in here is the weeds and the thorns and the stones and the hardness. If that's all they've known, God, I thank you that you just begin to empty it out. God, empty it out, Lord, and give us hearts that are good ground, Lord, fertile soil for you, God. I thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly all we could ask or think. I thank you there's nothing impossible with you. Yes, God, without you, we can do nothing, Lord, but with you, all things are possible. God, thank you that you give us hope for what you want to do in our hearts and our lives, Lord. Let every word we speak, God, be seeds of life. Transform our tongue, God, that we would put a guard over our mouth and that which comes out, Father, God, that which comes out, Lord, as we plant seeds in the hearts of others, Lord, let it be seeds of blessing and not of cursing. Let it be seeds of life and not seeds of death. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just begin to reveal to us, Lord, as you knock on our heart, God, reveal to us what you want to do. Reveal to us the places that you want us to lay down. Expose those, God. We lay it before you. Expose them so that you can do all you want to do. Expose them so the enemy won't lie to us and deceive us like Adam and Eve, God, and then we'll settle for less and that we would settle for a curse. But God, expose them to us, Lord, so that we can walk in the abundance that you have, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.